Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get to the North Austin Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's go to John Costco. What's up, John?
What's going on, Garrett? How you doing?
Not much, man. What you got a workout routine that you're doing in your house or something, Doug?
There actually is. This month I just started doing like a pull-up competition in a Facebook group or whatever that I have.
Okay.
And we've been trying to improve our pull-up numbers substantially for the month, at least this month, and then probably going to carry on into April.
You know, I was always disappointed. I used to at one point in time, my max for benching is like 425 pounds, and I can't do like two pull-ups. I don't understand why. why doesn't that work? Like I'm confused as to why I can't do pull-ups. Can somebody tell me why I can't do pull-ups and I can do all of that?
I can tell you.
Why is that?
Because you're using your pecs and your triceps when you do push-ups or bench. And then for pull-ups, you're using your lats and biceps, completely different muscles. You're constantly working. You know, you never look at your lats in the mirror, right? You always look at yourself in the front of you. So you're looking at those pecs. You're looking at the abs and stuff like that. But the back muscles were what you're working on for pull-ups. Nobody ever looks at those. So you don't feel like you have to work those out.
Yeah, man. Listen, man, good. Shout out to you, man. Thank you very much. I was feeling bad about myself. I'm like, bro, I can't get no pull-up game off. This is crazy. But my goal is, at the end of this, when we make it out of it, my goal is to do one pull-up. We're going to be able to do a pull-up. So we're going to get that together. I think there's lots of people that got signed that can do multiple pull-ups. So they'll be doing all right for themselves. So we got the signings for the Cleveland Browns. There's a slew of them. I think the last few guys have been more of the along the lines of roster fillers. But at the end of the day, some of the big names, I wanted to check and see where you thought of them. We talked about Conklin a lot, you know, in the first couple weeks of, you know, free agency, and the Browns went out and got that done. Your thoughts on getting that locked down and why you think they went after him is over some of those other guys that may have been out there on the list?
I think with Jack Conklin, it creates a perfect scheme fit for what the Browns are going to be doing on offense. So Kevin Stefanski's offense is that wide zone, lots of play action boots, and Conklin was fantastic in that area. He is a top three graded tackle on the wide zone run blocking, and then on play action boots, he was the sixth best in pass protection in that area. But then when you just look at his ability as a pure pass protector, he's not going to be an elite guy in that area, but he's going to be a massive upgrade compared to what they had in Chris Hubbard last year, where Hubbard had a 52.5 pass protection grade on just pure pass sets, where you're just having a normal drop back. There's no play action. There's no trickery going on there. Whereas Jack Conklin, and that was 35th out of 40 right tackles. So one of the worst in the NFL at that. Jack Conklin was 16th in that area in grade. And so that's a huge improvement. And so you're going from like bottom of the barrel to an average right tackle in that area. And you're going into an elite area for what he does in the run game. And it's a massive win for the Cleveland Browns there. So it's a great signing, and the fact that they were able to do it for relatively cheap compared to what was expected and maybe some of these other deals that are going out to some of these much lesser known and, you know, worse quality offensive tackles, it's a big win for the Cleveland Browns.
You know, when you look at it, you take a look at that signing along with a signing of Hooper. You look at those guys, and you know, people don't really look at it as a guy as a tight end being an edge guy who is going to be out there on the edge. But tight ends do block. One of the things that they talked about David Njoku not being able to do at a high level. What do you think about the signing of Hooper? What does he bring as far as being able to block and catch passes? And where did you guys have him in pecking order as far as tight ends are concerned in the league as far as his Pro Football Focus ranking?
Yeah, so this is a signing I do like. I think it's obviously paying above market value and setting the market essentially for the tight end position. He's not quite worth that, but I think when in terms of what he does on the offense, he's a very good wide zone blocker. He's been one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL. And then the fact that he's been a very good receiving tight end. He's one of the best at contested catches, the second best actually over the past few years, and he has the second best catch rate at the on catchable throws. So he's going to be a sure-handed guy. He's not going to be somebody that's going to get open on in man coverage in terms of creating that separation, but he is one of the, because he's one of the best at contested catches, you know, Baker Mayfield likes to throw those passes into tight windows. He's going to be able to haul those in. He's one of the best at creating and generating yards after the catch in zone coverages. So what he's able to do against tight coverage and in zones is going to be a perfect fit for the Cleveland Browns. And where he was at in grade wise, he was our eighth best tight end last year, but he generated the fifth best value in terms of wins above replacement last year, and was seventh best in that category in 2018. So he's been a top seven tight end in the NFL the past 2 years based on what he's been able to do catching the football.
Talking to John Costco in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Before you got on, I was talking about scheming a little bit, and I said one of the my favorite packages and one of the most difficult packages, in my opinion, in playing the game that I thought was very difficult to stop was the formation with the two tight ends, two receivers, and one running back. I said, you know, out of that formation, it was just so difficult to stop. You can run anything out of that. You can run play action out of that. You can run boot off that. Obviously, the outside zone plays, stretch plays, you know, the route combinations, and you can max protect and do shot plays out of that, run your four verts out of that. Kevin Stefanski really runs that a lot, and I think he was number one in the league at running that. And, you know, talk up a little bit about what that could present with the, you know, the personnel that the Browns currently have with now Njoku possibly coming back into the fold with those two tight end sets with Jarvis and OBJ. What do you think the Browns will employ with that kind of formation set?
Yeah, they're going to be running that wide zone system with that with those personnel they have there, and it fits perfectly because Baker Mayfield was a top graded passer on those play action boots and from under center. So when he's able to get the right system in place and for him it's that play action game. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL even last year when he was doing the play action game, and it's just going to be that much more better with this. The personnel that they have and the coaching staff that they have, because they're going to be sticklers for the fundamentals and the mechanics that Baker's going to have. You're not going to see these lazy dropbacks that he's shown, especially this past year where the coaching wasn't quite as good. So what you're going to be able to see is Mick Shelby is the top wide zone runner in the NFL last year. You had the one of the best right tackles in the wide zone blocking scheme. So you're going to be able to, what like Kevin Stefanski likes to talk about all the time, is the marriage of the run and the pass. And it's going to look just, you know, every pass and run are going to look the same when they're running that wide zone. You're not going to be able to know what's going to be coming. So they're going to be showing that play fake out there, and you don't know if he's going to be handing it off or not. He's going to boot out the other side, and he's going to be hitting the Austin Hooper and David Njoku coming across on that backside crosser. Or you can be hitting Jarvis or Odell Beckham Jr. on that deep comeback, and it's going to look like an NFL offense, what, you know, Cleveland Browns fans have been hoping for a long time. So it's a perfect, really, in terms of how they're building this, it looks really good on paper, but based on how it went in Minnesota for Kevin Stefanski last year with a frankly lesser talent on the offense than what the Browns are going to be putting forward this year, it only spells good.
And looking at the Browns, is on the defensive side of the football, they did shore up some of the holes that they do have, and they did go get B.J. Goodson. Some of our fans may not know too much about him as far as what he brings to the table. What are your thoughts about that signing? And looking forward, what other holes meant they need to fill in going in free agency, maybe trades, or kind of what they need to do in the draft now that you see some of those different positions are filled?
Yeah, I think for the B.J. Goodson signing, that's just a needed veteran piece on the, you know, in the linebacker room after losing Joe Schobert this year in the free agency. He obviously is going to be very cheap compared to what Joe Schobert brings to the table. He's not an elite coverage linebacker, but he's a solid, consistent player that's, you know, average in the NFL. So he's just going to bring a needed consistency there, especially with, you know, the uncertainty of if Taki Taki can make that step forward, if you know, Mack Wilson can make that step forward. I know that he played a ton of snaps, so I expect him to, but it just brings that needed consistency and veteran leadership at the linebacker position. And then, they signed Carl Joseph at the safety position, and that's a signing I really like. And now they have four first-rounders in that secondary. I think they're going to continue to add. I know that they signed, Andrew Sendejo, but I think they're going to continue to add into that secondary. They need a nickel cornerback that they really – I know that Kevin Johnson has played in the slot some, but I still think that they need to add there, along with another safety position probably, just to make sure that they have the depth there. So, but the biggest need is still right now, I think, is that left tackle position, which I think is probably going to be addressed in the draft at number 10. I wouldn't put it past them to actually sign somebody in the free, maybe in the second or third wave of free agency to maybe have a veteran presence at that left tackle position. But I wouldn't expect them to be any breaking the bank or anything like that for that position. So they still have some holes that they need to fill. But it looks a lot better on paper now than it did just a week ago.
Talking to John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, looking around the league, obviously the Tom Brady signing, he's going to Tampa Bay. What are some big name splash signings that you like? And what team do you think really got better? What are you kind of surprised about in terms of somebody maybe you'd be surprised that went there besides Tom Brady, that you were kind of surprised that they actually, went to a team that they weren't really supposed to go to?
I think the biggest surprising is not actually a free agent signing, but more so the trade of DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals, because I don't think anybody saw that coming. And the fact that they essentially swapped fourth-round picks and they got David Johnson, who is 3 years past his prime, and gave up a second-round pick for him, that, to me, was a big-time shock. I did not see that coming. I did not. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And he's, a top five wide receiver in the NFL, and they traded him for nothing. So that to me is the biggest shock of what's happened over the past week in the NFL. A couple of other signings that may have been kind of shockers, I guess. But I guess Nick Foles being traded, which is not a signing, obviously. But that one, I think, is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They just signed him to a massive deal last year, and they're taking on about $20 million in dead cap space, which is quite a bit. But I think an underrated signing that did happen, which is unfortunate for the Browns, fans and stuff, is that Eric Ebron to the Steelers. That's a really good quality tight end signing for the Steelers. Now they're going to have Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron to be stretching the field from the interior, which will be a little problematic for the AFC North to be able to defend those guys. But I think another signing that may have was a little bit disappointing, I think, in terms of what the Browns probably could have gotten him, was Chris Harris Jr. out of Denver, slot cornerback that is one of the best in the NFL, so has a lot of life left in his legs. Went to the Chargers for a really cheap I think it was 2 years, $20 million deal. So, and that defense over there and for the Los Angeles Chargers is going to be really elite now with him and Casey Hayward, and they've got obviously Derwin James. So that's going to be a really good, formidable defense, and they're definitely trying to do anything they can to be able to stop Patrick Mahomes.
When you look at it, really quickly, we got one guy left, a couple guys, big names left on the board. Cam Newton, obviously Teddy Bridgewater is down there in Carolina now. Where do you see Cam Newton possibly going there as far as a landing spot for him? And are we out of potential positions for quarterbacks, starting positions for quarterbacks in the league, where you got guys they're looking to draft franchise quarterbacks? We know we got Burrow. We know we got those other guys coming out in Tua and some of those other guys. Do you foresee Cam landing somewhere as a starter in the league?
You know, this is a very strange offseason in terms of those quarterbacks, because like Jameis Winston and Cam Newton, both guys that have been longtime starters in the NFL, and it doesn't look like there's a landing spot for them. I think that when you Indianapolis signed Phillip Rivers, so they're out of the picture. You know, the Bears traded for a Nick Foles, which, I mean, isn't really shoring up that position. It's tough to really even pinpoint where either one of those guys could go, because it appears that all these teams have their quarterbacks stocked up for this year. I think in terms of maybe some place where, like, Jameis Winston, you know, you could look at him going to a Pittsburgh, because you have no idea what's going to happen with Ben Roethlisberger there. But then I don't really can't foresee a spot where Cam Newton is going to go. I mean, he's going to end up going somewhere, maybe to Miami, because it's Ryan Fitzpatrick there and they don't really actually have their quarterback yet, and they might not be able to get a quarterback at number five that they like there, because it's expected, obviously, you get Burrow and Tua are going to go in the top three or whatever. So I really don't know. I can't say for sure where those guys are going to be going.
All right, man. John, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you coming up next week, and I appreciate it. And good luck on your pull-up competition.
Thanks, and good luck getting that one. I got to get some of those negative pull-ups to be able to get to build up that strength in your lats.
All right, man. I'm going to get that going, man. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
All right, man. John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.